I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge weekend across Scottish football. In the Premiership today, the battle for third sees Hibs against Dundee United and Aberdeen going to St Mirren. It's getting tense at the bottom. St Johnstone, Kilmarnock, Ross County Hearts and Dundee Motherwell. Well done to Falkirk. They've won the championship and will play in the top flight next season. And speaking of the top flight, Rangers against Celtic at noon tomorrow. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this afternoon you have Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
If you are of a nervous disposition and you're looking for something to take your mind off that Old Firm derby tomorrow, then you have come to the right place. We have simultaneous strain at five different grounds, none more so than the Global Energy Stadium in the Highlands, because if HEA, RTS, RBEA, TEN, then they will be, as they say in Edinburgh, in soapy bubble. You've also got that terrific game between Dundee and Motherwell. Dundee need the point to avoid the playoffs, and Motherwell aren't out of the woods yet in that regard either. And the reason why they're all worried is because it's the fear of facing the Maryhill Mourinho. Mark Wilson, Partick Thistle, into the playoffs. Congratulations, Mark.
Thank you very much, Hugh. Very nice welcome to the show. And what a Saturday we've got ahead, because so much can move in the table at the top and bottom. Obviously, the big game at the top of the table, that battle for third, Hibs versus Dundee United, that'll be a cracker. St Johnstone, are they dead and buried, or will a win against Kilmarnock breathe new life into them? Hugh is right. Up in Dingwall, a big afternoon for Liam Fox, taking charge for the second time, is it, this season? Can he steer Hearts to safety with a win at Ross County this afternoon?
Yeah, I echo Hugh's words. Well done, Mark. I'm looking forward to it.
That was the same enthusiasm.
That was beautiful to hear that.
Sincerity. Thank you. I'm delighted for the boy. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I'm looking forward to a lot of good games. That fixture list just oozes of a terrific afternoon of football and plenty of goals.
When I said HEARTS, as soon as I said BEATEN,
I saw him writing it
down. I was looking at his face.
He
was writing it down. Seriously though, congratulations last night. It was a brilliant night in the championship. Congratulations to Falkirk. They've won the title. They've won the championship. They will play in the top flight next season. How was it from your point of view?
It was great, actually. First of all, congratulations to Falkirk. I didn't get the chance to say that last night, but they deserved it. They were the best team, and I'm delighted for John McGlynn and that squad. But for us, it was fantastic. I mean, just the way the full night played out, because, you know, got news that Hamilton had scored, and then obviously we take the lead, and it was nervous enough. But then you hear the score lines at Hampden, where Wraith needed to win by four goals to level us in goal difference, and then if we had not won, Wraith had to, you know, score five, which they did. So got into those last 7 minutes of stoppage time, Wraith are five up, and we know if we concede, we are out the playoffs. So it was quite nervy, but a lovely way to finish a tough season.
Because a Livy goal wouldn't have done anything for them for the title.
No,
but it would have knocked,
would have knocked us out of the
playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. On goals scored for Wraith.
Mark, that was my fault. I said to Gordon last night on Super Scoreboard, I fancy Queen's Park to do something off.
Oh, I think I heard that.
They did. They took an absolute beating. Half Wraith, you.
In fact, you know what? Let's open up and ground the guys before we get their thoughts on their own games, because it was brilliant last night, Fraser Wishart. It was what the championship is all about. Actually, I know people might have their own feelings on it. Thought it was quite good that it was on a Friday night, because it meant the championship got its own moment, a couple of games on TV and all that sort of stuff. So congratulations to Falkirk.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been lucky enough, you guys have sent me to Falkirk many times this season, and I just love watching them play. It's never dull, because they're very good the way they play going forward, but you always get a chance or two against them. And I actually just flicked the telly on just as Hawanaki scored, and I feel for the worst. I've got a soft spot for Falkirk. I had a season there that got me my career back on track before I joined Rangers, so I really enjoy going back to Brockville, or sorry, not Brockville, that's where we played, to the Falkirk Stadium. So I'm really delighted for John McGlynn, good guy, Paul Smith, an old teammate of mine. But the night of drama, as you say, was great, and I was feeling for Mark as Raith Rovers battered in goal after goal, and they were hanging on to that 1-0 advantage. And once Falkirk had got those three goals, it was all over for the promotion side. So I really hoped that this would get into the playoffs. But you're right in saying that the championship deserved its own focus, its own night, because there's a lot of good players down there who, under normal circumstances, might be playing a league up, but we have so many non-Scots playing in the Premiership. It's good to see these lads getting their time in the sun, and it's an exciting season for Mark and Partick Thistle and all of us who are Glasgow based, who would like to see Thistle go up as well. So exciting end to the season, and really enjoyed my night last night.
Yeah, David Friel, I think whoever wins it deserves to go up. That's sort of how league tables work. But I think there's been a feeling, because of their absence, because of some of the storylines there, the back-to-back promotions, there's a lot pointing towards Falkirk being a really good addition to the top flight next season.
Yeah, it's something new as well, Gordon, and look, it's been a long time coming, and I think you saw from the players, the management, the officials, and especially the fans. I can't remember the last time I saw fans just surround a pitch waiting for the final whistle. In terms of that pitch invasion, yeah, a huge outpouring of emotion. I think you can see the relief on John McGlynn's face. But as the guys were saying, look, Falkirk have been the best football team. I've really enjoyed watching them. They're exciting to watch, and I think they'll be a great addition. It will be something new. In terms of the playoffs, well done to Mark and everybody at Partick Thistle. And can I just say, having beaten Falkirk last week and beaten Livingston last night, are Partick the form team getting into these playoffs?
Well, the thing is, Mark, I mean, I know my place. I wouldn't try and give football advice to you guys, seasoned pros that have done it all before, but do you ever think it might be easier to not lose against all the teams at the bottom of the league and then have to beat the top two in the last... Could you not have done it round? Has it not been easier just
where
to do it
would the
way
drama
round?
Be in that? We wanted to keep right. everybody excited, you know, mm-hmm. and take it to the last minute. Sheer excitement in Scottish football. But you're right, it could have been a bit easier for our stress levels.
Having to beat the top two in the last couple of weeks. And if anyone in here in the background, the production staff, if they've got anything about them, they'll be digging out that video before a ball was kicked last summer of Jim Duffy saying Falkirk would get back-to-back promotions. That was his prediction for the season. But that makes it extra special, that, doesn't it, Fraser? That's a great achievement to go back-to-back.
No, it's absolutely amazing. When you think of Falkirk in the doldrums, it's 15 years since they played at the top level, but it's also they'd 5 years in League One and blew it a few years before that. They lost the last five games, I think, to not even make the playoffs. So it's been a crazy, crazy time. I mean, the one downside, of course, of Partick Thistle getting into the playoffs is that Mark Wilson's had to call off from the PFA Scotland dinner tomorrow night, so I got a message this morning.
I apologise, mate.
It's all paid for, of course, already, so you've just cost the union about £60. But don't you worry about that, Mark.
Listen, I'll take care of my bonus that. When we get promoted.
Fraser, I'll have his red wine.
Just you can have his red wine. That's going to be his starter. Gordon can have his main course.
He bought my suit for £2 and they weren't here as well today. He's a charitable man, as Mark Wilson.
I can't believe he's pulling out.
He's feeling bad.
I am feeling bad, but worse now that you've mentioned it live on radio.
So the thing is, he actually is. He's mentioned it a few times. There's someone in here who wouldn't feel bad, but it's not Mark Wilson. So Gordon DL will see you there tomorrow. He's looking forward to it greatly. Hugh, there are so many stories. We probably don't have time to run through them all right now. Fraser's covered back-to-back promotions. Scott Arfield fairy tale story, everyone knows that. I mean, John McGlynn, he's been there before.
Yeah.
On paper, he would be of an older school. But in actual fact, he's gone away, kind of reinvented his management style, learned a lot from Brendan Rodgers, plays this silky brand of attacking football, baseball cap on, loves this show as well. He's got great taste.
Yeah.
And back in the top flight.
John's like me, he is an anachronism. You know, what's this old guy doing there? But he does his job. And I am of an age to remember when Partick Thistle should never be out of the top flight for me, because they just belong there. Falkirk are the same. Brockville
Fraser mentioned earlier, used to be one of the atmospheric places, and now they've gone to the Falkirk Stadium and it televised beautifully last night. I know there are three stands and then a big gaping hole, but it televised wonderfully well last night. And for John McGlynn to do it back to back, I think is borderline miraculous. And he may not even get the Manager of the Year award at Fraser's due tomorrow night, but he will get the recognition that he deserves from those in the game and those out with the game who understand the scale of that achievement. It is unbelievable.
Yeah, well done to Falkirk, well done again to Mark and Brian and all involved at Partick Thistle for securing the playoff spot as well. Of course, Livingston and Ayr United in that mix as well. Let's go around the grounds today though, because it is all happening and you have full focus, Fraser. Before you get to your gala dinner tomorrow night, Hibs against Dundee United is massive in the race for third.
Yeah, it should be an absolute cracker. Gordon, I'm really looking forward to this one, and there's a good atmosphere outside. When I arrive in at 1:15, there's fans outside because they know how big a game this is, because the end to Hibs' long unbeaten run, we've spoken about it so often in the show, Pittodrie last week, has kept the battle for third place going, not only for Aberdeen, who beat them, but also for today's opponents, Dundee United, with 3 points separating the three clubs. And all three will probably play in Europe next season, but it's not clear which competition that will be. The result in the cup final between Aberdeen and Celtic and their impact as well as where they finish in the league. But for David Gray, nominated for Manager of the Year tomorrow night, well, alongside John McGlynn and Brendan Rodgers, I think the interesting part for him will be the reaction he gets from his players. It's been a long time, probably since December, since his players have had to recover from a defeat. So I expect Hibs to start the game on the front foot, as they've done so many times when I've seen them. They press the game, they play really aggressively in the opponent's half, and I think they'll try and get the fans behind them. United, of course, had to recover from that heavy defeat last week against Celtic, but Jim Goodwin will know that can happen against Celtic, and he'll try and get his players to have taken the positives from the start to that game. But wherever they finish, and it's unlikely to be lower than fifth, it's been a fantastic season for a team that's promoted, and if they finish third, that'd be remarkable for the Jim Goodwin and his players. He's relying on loan signings like Sam Darby's and Team of the Year Lucas Stevenson and others. They may not be at Tannadice next year, and that's a negative of loans, but I think all the players at United will want the season to finish on a high, like Declan Gallagher, who starts today. Louis Mote, been told they're no longer got a part to play, but they'll still give their all till the end of the season. The games I've seen have been close, one win each, one draw. Conditions are ideal, it's not too warm, there's no breeze, pitch looking terrific. 11 goals in the three games this season. I think there'll be a few goals here today for me to watch. Two changes from Hibs, from that team that lost to Aberdeen last week. Out go Campbell and Bowie, and in come Hoylett and Kukurevic. Their usual 3-4-1-2 formation. Jordan Smith in goals, Warren Ahora, Rocky Bashiri and Jack Iredale at the back, Chris Cadden, Dylan Levitt, Nectarius Trantis and Jordan Obita across the middle. Junior Hoylett tucked in behind the two strikers, Martin Boyle and Mikola Kukurevic. The subs are Joseph Bursic, Lewis Miller, Marvinik Piteta, Alassana Mane, Nicky Cadden, Kieran Bowie, Nathan Mariah Welsh, Josh Campbell and Dwight Gale. Three changes from that heavy defeat against Celtic by Jim Goodwin. Payton, Middleton and Campbell drop out. Gallagher, Babunski and Van der Sande come in. They've changed their formation as well, I think, to a 3-4-1-2 formation. They go with Jack Walton in goals, Emmanuel Adeboyega, Declan Gallagher and Vico Svelge at the back. Ryan Strain, Ross Doherty, Craig Sybald and Will Ferry, with David Babunski behind the two big strikers, Jort Van der Sande and Sam Dalby. Dave Richards, Christian Trapanowski, Lewis Fiorini, Louis Molt, Glenn Middleton, Kai Fotheringham, Rory Payton, Alan Campbell and Sam Cleal Harding are the substitutes, and the referee is John Beaton. And at the VAR today, Grant Irvin.
Both of them have lofty ambitions about finishing high up in those European places. Aberdeen are in the mix as well, and they go to St Mirren. Gabriel is there.
Yes, Gordon, good afternoon from Paisley. Battling the top half of the Premiership, European football, as you say, on both teams' minds. The host, St Mirren, started the post-split fixtures with another impressive display against Rangers. A 2-2 draw means they're unbeaten in three against the Ibrox side, and it also puts them within 8 points of fifth place, which we know is likely the final European spot. Stephen Robinson will know that if his side can win three of their last four games, they'll give themselves a chance at least of playing in Europe once again next campaign. But that has to start with 3 points today. And it won't be easy. They face an Aberdeen team who picked up a huge result themselves last weekend. Kevin Nisbet's wonderful strike gave them a win over Hibs. And the battle for third looks like it will go down to the wire. The two teams just coming up to warm up now. Jimmy Tallinn, the Dons manager, just headed back down the tunnel. He might be surprised by the PFA snub for Manager of the Year award, with others nominated. He's taken his team to the semi-final of the League Cup. They've got a Scottish Cup final at the end of May, and they're level with Hibs and on for third place. Yes, there have been bumps in the road for the Dons, but it's a better first year than any optimistic fan would have been expecting at the start of the season. How about some team news then? Well, Stephen Robinson makes just one change to the side that drew with Rangers. Ocean Smith comes into the midfield for Caelan Boyd-Muntz, who drops to the bench. So it'll be Zach Hemming in goal, a back three of Marcus Fraser, Alex Gogic and Richard Taylor, Ryan Alabiosu and Declan John wing-backs. Ocean Smith comes into the midfield alongside Killian Phillips and captain Mark O'Hara. Jonah Iunga is up top with Mikael Mandron, who signed a one-year deal extension earlier this week. The substitutes: Umitski, Yakaviti, Tanzer, Boyd-Muntz, Kilty, McMenamin, Idowu, Oseni and Scott. Tallinn himself makes two alterations to his Aberdeen 11 with Nicky Devlin and Jeppe Okels coming in. Alexander Jensen misses out altogether at right back. Papigay is amongst the substitutes now. Dimitar Mitov will be in goal. The back four reads Nicky Devlin, Alfie Dorrington, Mats Noster and Graham Shinney. Ante Pellaversa and Leighton Clarkson will be at the base of the midfield. Shaden Morris, Jeppe Okels and Topi Keskinen are the three behind Kevin Nisbet, who leads the line. Substitutes are Duhan, McKenzie, McGrath, Polvara, Dabag, Gay, Milne, Boyd and Ambrose. The referee here is Ross Hardy with Stephen McLean as the VAR.
Looking forward to it greatly. Now a different type of nerves and tension altogether. It's all about relegation. We know who's coming up, but who's going down? St Johnstone against Kilmarnock in Perth. David Friel is there.
Huge game here, Gordon. Make a break time for St Johnstone in that battle to stay up, as you said. And Simo Valakari sent out an SOS to Uche Ikpiatsu in a bid to save them. Big Ugandan striker signed at the start of the season. He hasn't actually started a competitive match in over a year after a horrendous series of injury problems, but he's in from the start today after a couple of sub appearances in recent weeks. And you can be sure, knowing what Ikpiatsu plays like, he will be up for the fight against Killy. St Johnstone really last chance territory for them. They're 6 points behind Ross County at the bottom. They simply have to win. If they do and Hearts beat Ross County, then they'll put themselves right back in the mix, especially given the fact that County come to McDermott Park next weekend. But clearly there's no margin for error today, and Valakari knows that. He's a positive guy, he'll never give up. However, he needs some of that rock and roll football he talks about against Killy today. They've got a good record against Killy, 1-2 out of the last three. They normally tend to do well against them here. I think everyone expects them to have a real go at Killy today. Killy themselves, 9 points clear of St Johnstone. They obviously won't go down automatically, but they're only 3 points above the relegation playoff. Derek McKinnon's got a performance and result out of his side last week in their 2-0 win over Ross County. He'll demand something similar today. They're looking just to avoid a nervy ending to the season. However, their away form has been awful. They've on a run of 6 defeats in a row on the road, and that clearly needs to change at a ground that, as I said, they do tend to struggle at. 3 changes for St Johnstone after losing to Motherwell last week: Sam Curtis, Stephen Duke McKenna, Jason Holt, and also Adama Sidibe drop out. That's 4 changes with Barry Douglas, Victor Griffith, Elliot Watt and Ikpiatsu in from the start. Andy Fisher will be in goal, Sven Sprangler, Daniels Balodis and Barry Douglas at the back, Josh McPake, Elliot Watt, Victor Griffiths, Graham Carey and Taylor Stephen across the middle, with Uche Ikpiatsu and Mackenzie Kirk up front. Subs for St Johnstone: Sinclair, Holt, Clark, Sidibe Kucharavi, Duke McKenna, Kimpioka, Curtis and Franchuk. As for Killy, name the same team that began against County last week: Kieran Lahara in goals, back four Lewis Mayo, Robbie Dee, Stuart Finlay, Corey and Daba, Danny Armstrong, Liam Donnelly, David Watson, Fraser Murray across the middle with Bobby Wales and Bruce Anderson. Incidentally, it looks like Bobby Wales will be leaving Kilmarnock at the end of the season. It looks like he's heading to Swansea. As for Killy subs, it's McCrory, McKenzie, Vassell, Kennedy, Mackay, Stephen, Cameron, Ramsey, Watkins and Polworth. The referee at McDermott Park is Ian Sneddon and the VAR is Andrew Dallas.
Speaking of the bottom of the table, the nerves, the tension, maybe a slightly different pressure as well for the visitors to Dingwall. It's Ross County against Hearts. Dave Galloway.
Gordon, Ross County are desperate to avoid the Premiership relegation playoffs for the third year in a row, but at this moment it's out of their hands as they sit in 11th place with 4 games to go. There have been some frank discussions in the county camp this week as they gear up for make or break time. A run of 5 successive league losses has seen them slip to second bottom. But what a massively disappointing campaign it's been for Hearts. Liam Fox today starts his second stint in caretaker charge this season. In October, he of course filled in after Stephen Naismith's dismissal. Now he's back in the hot seat temporarily following the sacking of Neil Critchley. Their last victory was at home to none other than Ross County. That was in March, and they've failed to score in 4 Premiership matches since. They sit 5 points above the Staggies, so defeat would certainly drag them into to the mire. Looking at the teams then, and Ross County make three changes. In come Brown, Harmon and Samuel for Lopata, Campbell and Allardyce. So it's Amisa in goals, Brown, Tomkinson and Harmon at the back. Midfield right, Randall, Kenne and Ashworth. Up top, White, Hale and Samuel. The subs, Ross, Phillips, Greaves, Campbell, Lopata, Nisbet, Ifeti, Smith and Robeston. As for Hearts, well, four changes for them. In come Halkett, Shankland, Forrest and Vargas. Out go McCart, Devlin, Khartoum and Kabangu. So it's Gordon in goals. A back four of Forrester, Kent, Halkett and Penrice. Midfield, Beningame, Grant and Spittle. Up top, it's the three of Forrest, Shankland and Vargas. On the bench, Fulton, Kingsley, Neuenhoff, Mackay, Steinwender, Kabangu, Danda, Wilson and Khartoum. Match referee Don Robertson and your man on VAR, Gavin Duncan.
And last but not least, big game at Dens Park as well, Dundee against Motherwell. Let's hear from Dailyton.
Yes, thanks Gordon. It's set to be an exciting bottom six clash here in the City of Discovery. Both sides won their first post-split matches last weekend and moved closer to safety. For Dundee, it was a 1-0 away win to Hearts, where Simon Murray netted his 16th goal of the season to keep pace with Daiza Maeda at the top of the goal-scoring charts. They recorded just a third clean sheet of the season, though that does make it two in three games, with the other coming against today's opponents in a 1-0 win at Fir Park back in October. The Dark Blues sit just above Ross County in the relegation playoff spot with 37 points, and a win today could go a long way to ensuring that they are playing top flight football next season. Tony Docherty's made one change to his lineup, with Soon Adewumi coming in for Seb Palmer-Holden. In goals, it's Trevor Carson with Larkesh, Robertson, Shaughnessy and Astley in defence. Portales, Tiffany, Mulligan, Cameron and Adewumi are in midfield, with Simon Murray up front. On the bench for the Dark Blues, it's McCracken, Samuels, Riley, Finlay Robertson, Cometio, Palmer-Holden, Fraser, Silla and Aaron Donnelly. As for Motherwell, they went behind early against St Johnstone last weekend, but three goals either side of half-time secured the 3 points for the Steelmen. Callum Slattery continued his fine form against the Saints, scoring another goal to make it four in his last five games. Depending on the result between Ross County and Hearts, a Motherwell win here at Dens could seal their spot in the Premiership for next season. Michael Vimmers made one change to his side, with Ellery Balcom dropping to the bench and Aston Oxborough returning to the starting 11 for his first appearance since the 8th of January. So it's Oxborough in goals, with Katrumbas, O'Donnell, Casey and Thompson in defence. In midfield, it's Sparrow, Halliday, Miller and Payton, with Slattery playing behind Tony Watt. On the bench, it's Balcom, Seddon, Strakowski, Wilson, Abie, Andrews, Mashmanise, Dixon and Armstrong. Today's referee is Kevin Clancy and Callum Scott is on VAR.
As you're up to speed with your team news and your scene sitters ahead of today's 3 o'clock games, we'll take our first look ahead to tomorrow's action when we return.
From five on the open line, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dale are here. We've already given you team news ahead of the big games at 3 o'clock today. We've already looked in the Championship and given Falkirk the credit they deserve. Let's get the guys involved, because usually we debate the biggest topic of the week when we reconvene on a Saturday, but I think let's cast it forward a bit, because it's all mixed. Fraser Wishart, every time Rangers and Celtic play, it does mean something. It's a fixture like no other. But what does this one mean, given that there's not as much riding on it as there otherwise might be?
Well, I think for both teams there is a bit here. I think Celtic have had such a terrific season that they won't want to end with three defeats in a row against Rangers. I think that's what Brendan Rodgers will be telling his team. He'll also be telling his team they could end up 20 points ahead of Rangers, and that's what Rangers have to guard against, is that gap becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's what they don't want to end the season 20, 22, 24 points behind, you know. And there's a chance, if Rangers don't get their act together, that the wheels could fall off for the season. That's what Barry Ferguson will be saying, you know. It's about pride, but for Rangers it's also about the supporters. They've not had an awful lot to cheer about this year, and the one small thing they could hang on to is a few wins against Celtic. So that's what Barry will be telling his players as well, you know. So I think there's still plenty to play for. It's one of these games where I do think there'll be plenty of goals because of that, because both teams will want to go and try and win that game. So as you said, there's never a derby of any kind that's meaningless, but particularly in Scotland for the Old Firm game. So plenty to play for both teams, but I think for both it'll be about that points difference. You know, just small things. Players like to have a target, they like to have something to play for, and I think that points difference might be in the minds of both managers, because Celtic could really rub Rangers' nose in it tomorrow.
I think on the Celtic side of things, David Friel, you've also got the back-to-back defeats in the last two games. You know, it's uncharted territory, that really, for Brendan Rodgers. How would you sum up his desire, do you think, to put that right? Because come the end of the season, they'll still have won the league, they've won the cup, they might well add another cup, but how do you think he feels about it?
I think he'll probably be taking it as a personal slight right now, Gordon, to be perfectly honest with you. I know Brendan Rodgers said last week very few people know him, very few people understand him, but I think we know him well enough to know that he will not want a third successive defeat to Rangers in these circumstances. Yeah, it's been a sort of quirk of a very strange season, because on the one hand, Celtic could potentially go 20 points clear, but on the other hand, they could lose a third successive league game to Rangers. However, in terms of it being meaningless, I think that stat alone will ensure Brendan Rodgers has the Celtic players fired up. But to be honest with you, I think when you've got the likes of Callum McGregor there as well, and even other players, I think they'll also be probably hurting a wee bit from the fact they've lost the last two games to Rangers. And I think from a Celtic perspective, I think they'll be really fired up to go and make a statement tomorrow at Ibrox.
It's the latest examination, Gordon, of can Rangers yet again defy everything else that they've been up to turn it on. You know, we've seen it this season, they have won the last two, we've seen it in Europe. Does that just happen again? I mean, it was only last week they're talking about terrible performance against St Mirren and so on.
It's just inconsistency. That's the problem with Rangers, and that's what the problem with Rangers have been this season. You look at some of the performance in Europe, you're talking there, they're going for three in a row against the champions, which is a good achievement. They'll be fired up for it. They'll want to finish in a high. Even if they win tomorrow, I think the Rangers fans will be disappointed in them, because they'll look again and say, well, where has this form been all season? I think it'll be a great game. I think both teams have got a lot to play for. I agree with the lads. I think the dugouts, which especially, you know, with the pride, Barry Ferguson wants to beat Celtic again. It's a great ending to his, probably, Rangers manager's career. Brendan Rodgers will not want to receive another defeat, especially after clinching the championship last week at Dundee United. They're banging for him. They're playing very well. They're scoring goals. I just think we're in for an absolute brilliant afternoon.
If you were in the Celtic dressing room, Mark, how would you feel in that balance of this has been a good season, this will be a good season regardless, you've done a lot of good things, versus having lost the last two in this fixture?
Well, I think I'd have comfort that the job was done and the league medal was in the back pocket. However, I'd put that to one side for this game, because it's a game like no other. We say it all the time, but those little personal rivalries are real within, you know, the actual game between the players. So guys like David Spawn, he's taken it. Guys like Callum McGregor, for instance, who played at Ibrox and was poor in that game that Rangers just overran them, will want to put that right. He also sat out and watched the game at Celtic Park, and I bet he was sitting there thinking, you know, that wouldn't happen if I was playing, or the next time I get the opportunity. That's never happening. They're not getting that space, they're not getting that time, they're not going to be allowed to come in toppies like that. And that works for every single position. So I think the Celtic players will be hurting at losing a couple of times to Rangers. I think even when you look at the cup final, it was a close run game and it could have swung either way in that. So it's been pretty tight. They all want to show these players that they are champions for a reason. And no better way of doing that than going to Ibrox, putting on a performance.
With regard to Rangers, Gordon Dalziel uses the word inconsistency. That's a kind of sanitised word for me. I prefer a harsher description of what's going on. If Rangers beat Celtic tomorrow for the third time in a row, then they will still be 14 points behind Celtic. That for me means that these Rangers players have cheated on Philippe Clement, cheated on Barry Ferguson, cheated on the Rangers support, and cheated on themselves, because they have to be capable of better than that. With regard to Celtic, if they lose to Rangers tomorrow for the third time in a row, having lost 9 goals over the course of the 3 defeats, then I think it's a blemish on the complexion of the season. It's doesn't affect the championship. Celtic are worthy champions based on what they did in the other games. But it's a stain on the last part of the season for Celtic. And David Friel said that Brendan Rodgers would be well aware of that, and he's 100% correct. Brendan Rodgers isn't daft. He knows the kind of season that Rangers have had. He knows that the Celtic supporters have spent the entire season laughing at Rangers. From the time when the ship didn't turn up on time with the building materials, to the Queen's Park defeat in the Scottish Cup, to the sacking of the manager, the Celtic supporters have laughed at Rangers all season long. To lose three times in a row to Rangers in 2025, and Brendan Rodgers will know this, will be a source of desperate irritation for him. And it's up to him and his players to make sure that does not happen.
And a huge story which does impact tomorrow, David Friel, but I suppose the bigger picture, Jota out for potentially as long as 9 months.
Yeah, Gordon, I think it's just a huge blow for Celtic, a huge blow for the player himself, who came back again with a point to prove after that move to Saudi didn't work out. And look, I think it changes Celtic's transfer window this summer hugely, because Jota was signed in January with a view to the Champions League qualifiers. He was viewed as an upgrade on the wide areas. Celtic spend £8 million on him. He's an automatic starter when he's fit and firing. And I just think it's a huge blow for everybody. And I just wonder, you know, I always felt Celtic would probably sign up to two wingers this summer. I just wonder whether it means they might need to bring another wide man in. I mean, you know, if Dyson Maeda is now classed as a striker, it leaves you with Nicholas Kuhn. We don't know what's going to happen with him as well. James Forrest-Yang, I think Celtic need to do a bit of work in that area come the summer. But, you know, I think Brendan Rodgers said it looks like 6 to 9 months. It's clearly a really, really bad injury. Wish him all the best for his return.
What did you make of it, Mark? Was it enough to ruin your build-up to Partick Thistle's massive clash last night?
Jota's injury? Significant one. I did think it was going to be a bad one. I think when you see the player coming out in crutches but a brace, you can tell it's going to be something significant. But Dave's right, huge blow. 9 months, that rules him out of the Champions League games or European games further down the line. So I wouldn't be surprised if Celtic splash a cash in that forward area again.
Yeah, it's a massive blow for him. And I agree that you can look at a massive blow for Celtic, but for the player himself, you don't want to see that. 6 to 9 months of a long time. But obviously Celtic will have to go into the transfer market. And I agree with David, I think they will concentrate in the wide areas, because Maeda for me is a better centre forward than he is a wide player, don't get me wrong. He can fill that role brilliantly, as we've seen in the past, but I think they'll need to go and strengthen the wide areas for me.
Well, we'll park that for now. Plenty of time to build up to tomorrow. You can even join us on the phones a bit later on and give us your thoughts. In the meantime, we've big business to take care of in the 3 o'clock fixtures, and we'll go back round the grounds when we return.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
15 minutes to go until the latest set of Scottish Premiership fixtures kick off. They are huge games. Let's go back around the grounds. Hibs against Dundee United. Fraser Wishart, did you get an okay? You're an issue with your name on the car park last time. I'm also wondering if the Hibs players are taking it out on you that they didn't have anyone in the team of the season. Then Sam Dalby was in team of the season, but he didn't make it into the top four for player of the year. You a wanted man in Leith?
I think so. Although the Hibs guys, there's a number of them coming. There's a Hibs table tomorrow night, so that's good. And Chris Cairns actually on our management committee, so it's all cool. He knows what's happening. But no, I got in today, which was good. The last time I went back to get my car, the wing mirror had a wee bit of damage to it, so I'm glad I didn't have to park it half a mile away. But as long as the Hibs players put on a good performance today, it's a good game against United, then I'll be more than happy. And I think they'll get after Dundee United. They'll know Hibs, they've got a 3-point advantage. Their success this year has been really playing in the front foot. I said earlier, pressing in the opponent's half as well. So I think they'll go and play high tempo, try and get a big crowd behind them as well, get an early lead. And they've scored a lot of goals during this period of great success. But it will be interesting to see, first time of a defeat in a long, long time, how do they react? What's the reaction from the players? So I think it'll be a good game. I think United might just play a wee bit more cautiously. They've got two big guys up front, so they may play a bit more cautiously, try and win some set pieces, try and get some balls into the penalty box to Van der Sande. And for the on-form Sam Dalby, as you say, Dalby's in the team of the year, well deserved in my eye. 14 goals, he's had a terrific season. So I think there'll be goals here, Gordon, and I'm looking forward to an exciting game.
It's so in the balance, isn't it, Fraser? You suppose you're looking to see what the Hibs' reaction is like to losing that winning run or unbeaten run they were always going to at some point. But there's not much really between these sides. And you look at Aberdeen, they'll be keeping an eye on this result as well.
Yeah, there's 3 points between the three teams, and if they'd won last week at Pittodrie, Hibs would have a 6 point advantage and would virtually be there. And I think I said earlier about the European places as well, they've still got to go and try and finish third. If Aberdeen win the cup, then that means that they kind of get a better European spot next year. But you can worry about if spots and maybes and what's going to be in front of them. A win today, and I've got a feeling that Aberdeen might just drop something at Gab's game at St Mirren. I think that might be a draw as well. So a win today and Hibs are almost there. And when you've had a defeat, you want to get the fans behind you. And that's why the start of this game is really important, I think, for Hibs. First 20 minutes, go and get after Dundee United.
And on that theme then, Gabriel, you're watching St Mirren Aberdeen. I suppose credit to St Mirren, because on paper they're the ones that don't really have as much to play for. It didn't stop them against Rangers last weekend, and they're now doing it without Olesanya, who's gone off to the MLS.
Yeah, Gordon, it was interesting. I spoke to Stephen Robinson the day before the post-split fixture started, the day before Rangers came here last week, and he said until it's mathematically or arithmetically possible, he will not give up on a fight for European football. He's still got his eyes on fifth place, Gordon. As you say, that game against Rangers, that point may become crucial because it means they're only 8 behind Dundee United, and yes, it might take a lot of things to go their way, but they know that at the end of today they could just be 5 points behind United, and they've still got to play them with 3 remaining games. So St Mirren fans turning up here today, smiles on their faces. They're in the top half again, but they've still got European football on their mind. As you say, Aberdeen have certainly that and then some. They've got a Scottish Cup final at the end of May, and it's interesting, Fraser, there talking about Hibs' great run of unbeaten games in the league. Aberdeen, of course, the side that ended it last week, and much of the talk, and rightly so, since the turn of the year, has been about Hibs. It's almost Aberdeen have almost gone under the radar. They feel that they are the third best team in this league. They feel they've shown it in the cup competitions. They want to prove it in the division as well. They're tied on points with Hibs at the moment, and it's going to be a shootout in these final 4 games. And you look at the fixtures today, with neither of them playing one of Glasgow's big two, it's a huge opportunity for either side to get one up on the other. So it's going to be really interesting come kick-off, Gordon.
And I know Lyndon Dykes changed the rules with these things, and Simon Murray's been getting spoken about for a Scotland call-up. Did I see Mikael Mandron throwing his hat in the ring during the week, Gabriel?
Yeah, Gordon, these links, I think, as you say, Lyndon Dykes has started it now. We're going to see more and more, especially with Scotland's lack of striking options over the next few years. But Mandron's been brilliant since he's been at St Mirren. Fully deserved that contract extension that he's got. He'll be here until at least 2026. And he's playing up top today with Oyunga. You said that Olesanya's gone. 6 figures they received from an MLS side for him. That was a no-brainer for them with his contract running out in just 6 weeks' time. But those two up top today, Oyunga and Mandron, are so key to the way that St Mirren play. It's not necessarily knock-it-long football, but they use the two up top. They use their physicality. They stretch the opposition defence. A proper old-school forward line, and it'll be really interesting to see how they do against Aberdeen's back line today.
Looking forward to it. Now it's all about the nerves and the tension at the bottom. David Friel, I suppose, for St Johnston, I actually met I know one St Johnston fan, that's it, and I met him this morning. I bumped into him this morning. I think they all know, don't they? It's sort of a matter of time, but at this stage of the season you're just waiting on things becoming confirmed.
I think they've almost been resigned to it for the bulk of the season, to be perfectly honest with you. Obviously, it didn't start well under Craig Levein. And as you say, Gordon, they have almost just been waiting for it to be confirmed. However, this is their last chance. They might get some final hope today if they win the game and results go their way elsewhere. As I said earlier, Simo Valakari's just throwing everything at it now. He knows he needs to win this game. What might also give him a little bit of confidence, a little bit of hope, is the fact that Kelly's away record is so bad. They are bottom of the away table in the Premiership, if you want to call it that. I think they've only taken 9 points from a possible 51 on the road this season. They never win away from home these days, so it's all there for them. They have a chance. He's going with Big Uche up front. He's going to have Mackenzie Kitt running off them. You just never know, but if it goes badly today, it's definitely over.
Looking forward to that one at McDermott Park, St Johnston against Kilmarnock. Ross County Hearts, Dave Galloway. I was looking through social media during the break, and just huge breaking news coming out of Dingwall that Wimpy's got a new menu and you've been along to try it out.
Oh yes, absolutely. A hot and loaded burger from the new menu, highly recommended. Quarter pounder, cheese, chicken strips, habanero sauce and jalapenos. Very nice indeed.
Not only the Wimpy's still going, but to the point that they're launching new menus.
Dave is our in-house Gordon Ramsay.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I really hope Ross County managed to stay in the Premiership. If ever two teams, though, that Gordon desperately needed a lift, it's these ones. County, 5 losses on the bounce, and they failed to score in 4 of them. They were looking pretty comfortable in 8th place not so long ago. Hearts campaign, on the other hand, full of inconsistency and setbacks. And although they currently sit 7th, things are so, so tight in the bottom half of that table. Should they slip up here this afternoon, they'll be in big trouble, deep trouble, as County would be breathing down their necks, just 2 points behind. Remember, many people said Hibs under Terry Butcher were too good to go down a number of years ago, and we all know what happened there. Incidentally, it's a much smaller visiting support than usual, Gordon, here. The Hearts fans have been given half of the end behind the goal over to my left, and there are plenty empty seats.
And they're coming off the back of the Player of the Year debacle.
Yeah.
Hugh Keevans, where Lauren Shankland looks like he's smirking, and then he has to clarify that he wasn't, and Anne Budge seems to just totally dismiss the notion of giving a response to Neil Critchley's sacking.
And
just,
Budge,
just everything's annoying the Hearts fans at the moment.
They seriously need a good PR. Anne Budge, of all people, should know not to be disdainful when it comes to the supporters, because she stepped in, she saved Hearts from serious bother, and she relied upon the foundation of Hearts for money thereafter, and they pay fortunes per season into Hearts. The last people you disrespect at Tynecastle are the Heart of Midlothian supporters. Lauren Shankland's denial of smirking was so lengthy that you knew he was guilty of the offence in the first place. So they are all over the shop. Their form is terrible. They were 2 managers in 7 months. But they are playing today a team who are the definition of hopeless. As Dave Galloway said, they've lost 5 games on the bounce, Ross County, and scored 2 goals in those 5 games. They are the boxer on the ropes, unable to defend himself. And Hearts, even Hearts, will smirk their way to a win in the Highlands and put Ross County out of their misery. They'll be in the playoffs, and St Johnstone will be relegated.
As for the final offering, Gordon Dalziel, I'll bow to your knowledge of Dundee against Motherwell. Motherwell, with that win last week, they are in 7th, 42 points. That's 7 ahead of Ross County. To most people, I think that's got them safe.
Yeah.
But it's not arithmetically certain. How important is it that you do just put it to bed, you know, rather than maybe getting dragged down and find yourself in 9th or 10th, but still knowing that you know you probably won't get sucked in?
Yeah, you want to finish the season on a high, of course you do. I thought last week's result was so, so important. That does keep them safe, Gordon, because as much as you can look at the point situation, there's too many teams below that they have to fall below to get themselves right in trouble. So they'll be looking for a good game today out at Dundee. I think that will be a very good game indeed. I think there'll be plenty of goals. And I think Motherwell, if they can just get another point. But right now, 42 points, surely enough to keep you out of that playoff situation.
But to make it all about Fraser's Do tomorrow, they are up against one of the 4 best players in the country, as voted for by his fellow professionals, and you've been beating the Simon Murray drum all season.
Yeah, I certainly have. I think he's been absolutely brilliant for them. I think he deserves every compliment he's getting. He's had a terrific season, not just as a goal scorer. I think his all-round game, as a team player, he's what we call in the game, a manager's dream. A manager must love the fact he goes out there, he plays for a team, he's added goals, important goals. I think Dundee, without him this season, would have, well, they're in a little bit of trouble, but I think they would have been banging trouble. And I think Simon Murray's the man to take them out, and I'm delighted he's in the nominees for tomorrow night.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this greatly. Huge games in the race for Europe, the race for third, the bottom, the relegation playoff spots, the championship was a starter last night. Let's get to the Premiership main course when we return.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One.
We're underway in the 3 o'clock kickoffs across the Premiership. We don't even have any Championship football because it's all done and dusted for now. The playoffs still to come, but the Premiership has more than enough entertainment and excitement and drama today to keep us going. So without further ado, Hugh Keevans, you have five games. Yes. This the man who said Queen's Park would beat Raith last night and they lost 5-1. So I'm not holding my breath, but try and predict the five outcomes.
Do you know what? I knew when I tipped Celtic to beat St Johnstone 5-0 in the Scottish Cup semi-final, that was probably the right prediction of my career. Mm. And they're all rotten before that and they'll all be rotten after that. But it's kind of you to ask. So I'll say that Hibs will beat Dundee United. Kilmarnock will put St Johnstone out of their misery in Perth. St Mirren Aberdeen, a draw, I agree with Fraser. Ross County are just so bad, it doesn't matter whether they're home, away or on the moon. They will lose to Hearts. And Dundee Motherwell, a draw.
Oh, almost identical, Hugh. The first four there, Hibs to beat United, Kilmarnock to beat St Johnstone, Aberdeen, St Mirren, a draw, Hearts to beat Ross County. But I've went for Dundee to beat Motherwell.
Yeah, Hibs, I think, are full house. I'm going St Johnstone, Kilmarnock, draw. You've heard it here first. St Mirren to beat Aberdeen, Ross County to beat Hearts.
What?
Yep, and Dundee to beat Motherwell. Yep, at home.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Get your essential medicines and vaccines before you head off on holiday.
Right, let's get this show on the road then and see how these predictions pan out. But more importantly, the clubs have all got big aims of their own. Look at that fixture card today. 10 teams involved and pretty much only one of them in St Mirren, not with a lot to play for. And even they have high standards anyway. Stephen Robinson would not want to let this slip. So very much looking forward to this afternoon, Hugh. This is what the post-split games are all about.
I don't think Stephen Robinson will let St Mirren adopt any lackadaisical attitude. They've been a standout. He's been a standout manager. He must be on Hearts' radar for that job of replacing Neil Critchley. But I think it's an outstanding afternoon in prospect. You know, it's a terrible thing to say, but in the journalistic profession, you're always drawn towards the darker side. And the dark And the dark side is Hearts in the Highlands. Because if anything happens there, and well played the Dazzler for saying he thinks Ross County will win. I don't know, after five defeats in a row and you've only scored 2 goals in 7.5 hours of football, they're hopeless. But if Ross County win, then that really throws the cat amongst the pigeons. As you say, Gordon, 5 games, 5 sources of intrigue and mystery, and let it all unfold now.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of interesting games there. I think, obviously, you look at the top, Hibs and Dundee, I think Fraser's in for a cracker there. St Mirren, I totally agree, I think they'll butt for it. I know they've not a lot to play for, but the one thing they want to do is finish the season on a high. They've had a great season, top six finish. Aberdeen will be looking to get the 3 points to keep the pressure on Hibs this afternoon. But it's all at the bottom, it's exciting for me. I think if Ross County can get a result today and Dundee play Motherwell, all of a sudden there's a lot of pressure on the teams above them.
I think with Hearts, it brings into sharp focus the board more than anything else, because often the board and those key decision makers often get a pass. I think when you sack 2 managers in 1 year, the fans have the right to ask questions of who are making the appointments and who are getting rid of the appointments. I think Neil Critchley should have been allowed to go to the end of the season. I think when he's given 1 transfer window and I get results, we're going against him, but I still think he would have kept him up. Liam Fox in again. That's a big afternoon for an interim manager to take on the task of going to Dingwall and trying to get something. So be an interesting one up there. But for Motherwell, by the way, I know you guys are panicking. I think St Mirren and Motherwell are fine. I think they're the two teams that can just...
Well, St Mirren are fine, for goodness sake, in the top six.
Aye, St Mirren have got nothing to play for, right, like you were saying, and they're relaxed. I think Motherwell are the same, really.
I agree with you. I don't think Motherwell are in any danger. I think there's too many teams got to overtake them, first and foremost. But it would be nice just to cement it. A point. You would take a point at Dens today. And
well, listen, they're
happy
bound to be inspired by the players' player of the year. Yes. Andy Halliday, of course.
Yeah.
Leading by example this afternoon, I'm sure. So.
Yeah, it shows you the season we've had.
Now, what a great award, by the way. What age is Andy just 33. Did I hear you say he's been available for every...
He's never missed
every
game.
Every game.
Played every game.
That is good going for a man of his age. So well done to Andy. He doesn't complete every game right enough, does he? Limps off.
No. Well, if you're asking for completed games, I think he'll be in the zero, if I'm honest. But he's been brilliant. He's a great professional, good Andy. Good to have about the place. And still going very strong. And hopefully he'll get a wee goal this afternoon just to cap it all off.
You ready, Hugh?
Yep.
The first half teaser
with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Can you name the five defenders who, since season 2015-2016, have 10 or more Premiership goals and played for only one of the current top flight clubs? Now, incidentally, they do not have to have scored all of those goals in one season. So, the five defenders who, since season 2015-2016, have 10 or more Premiership goals and played for only one of the current top flight clubs.
Oh, I like that. There are a couple in particular I think will really catch you out here.
Yeah.
I think we've made it too easy on the first half teaser recently, so you need some serious knowledge on this one. Get your answers in at Clyde SSB. It is a race. You need to put all five down on one tweet and send it in to at Clyde SSB. Now listen, if you don't think you've got all five in you and you just want to have some fun and play along and throw some names out there, that is absolutely fine as well. Let's hear from you at Clyde SSB.
Got a question. Define defender.
Well, the only what I would say, there's only they're all definitely defenders.
I'm sure you've
defenders.
Heard that a few times in your career.
The correct answers post-match. Are all definitely defenders.
Okay,
there's no doubt.
Do you know what I mean
them.
By that? Okay. Because there's a couple in there that, or I thought, maybe questionable.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
First goal of the afternoon, and it's in the big one at Easter Road. Hibs 1, Dundee United 0, and it is Martin Boyle. What a second half of the season he is having. For all those people who thought he was maybe past it, maybe on his way out, he has rammed those suggestions back down the throats. A bit of fortune this one. Cadden's low cross, Gallagher kind of kicked the ball off Martin Boyle and it trickled into the net. I don't think he'll care. He's having a brilliant season and he's scored again.
And he's in the team who have put David Gray on the shortlist for manager of the year. David Gray, remarkable story. Martin Boyle, equally remarkable story. It's a story of coming back after a slow start to the season. And the funny thing about the manager of the year award, and I meant to ask Fraser, there are only three contestants.
There are always three.
Not more than that. Every other category has four.
From recent memory, it was three last year. It's been three the last couple.
So is it Gray, Rogers and McLean?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Right, okay.
But Fraser will know, but would never tell who the manager of the year is. But David Gray is there on the basis of a 17 game run in which Hibs lost no games, but they were then defeated last weekend by Aberdeen. And now they're hoping to restart the grand finale to the season.
I don't know why he won't tell Hugh, because he was quick enough to tell us the price of a ticket. you know, and cast it up to our poor fellow colleague here, who's working hard to get into the Premier League. So, but Fraser, he did say that he would give me £60 and I will refund it tomorrow for you.
Certainly not to you. I'll give it to one of these two, more trustworthy. But Boyle, 12th goal of the season for Hibs in the Premiership, takes Hibs to 55 goals a season. You compare that to the other teams, obviously. in that top six. They are by far out ahead in the goal scored column, and it's largely down to Boyle. Just a fit Martin Boyle fits this league. You know, just with his pace, how direct he is. We've seen him. I think his standout performance was against Rangers, remember, at Easter Road, yeah, where he was absolutely outstanding that day. But he's just a reliable
source.
He's
leaving the club this season, isn't he?
Well, I think that's still a matter of conjecture.
I think he's going back home to Australia, is he not? I'm very well informed.
Not sure about that.
With that.
Well, home's here.
Yeah.
He plays for Australia, but he's for Aberdeen or something.
Was he born in Aberdeen?
Yeah, he's
Scottish,
but he's loving Australia.
He represents Australia.
You ever spoke to him?
But it's not home. He's not going home.
I'm going to rephrase that. I think he's going to Australia to play his football next season.
He's Lyndon Dykes in reverse. Lyndon Dykes a kiddie on Scott, and Martin's a kiddie on Aussie. But how much are the Hibs fans loving this? They are going for third place, and everything in the garden's rosy, and Hearts are in danger.
Would you put David Gray in that category of the top three?
I don't think he deserves to be manager of the year.
No, but would you put him in the category? Do you think the Aberdeen manager deserves?
Well, that's why I was asking that only three contestants: Jimmy Tilleen, who's still got the prospect of finishing third and winning the Scottish Cup.
But that's more of a timing issue than a number. Like I say, well, Fraser can confirm, but any seasons I can remember recently, there's always been three. I think that's more of a timing issue, and it's obviously difficult to arrange it all. It's the same with the players.
We wonder who'll get that one tomorrow.
Simon Murray goes and scores 15 goals today, but Dyson Maida wins the prize tomorrow, he might feel hard done by. It's just
because the votes are in and counted, and it's not Fraser's fault. The votes are in and counted, so that's all.
Well, it's Fraser's fault because he set the date.
Any man,
why not just wait to me?
Of course, you can, because as soon as the season finishes, everybody's away on holiday, players are released, all that sort of stuff.
Fraser's just been selfish.
Oh, I tell you what, you've got in store tomorrow, what you look forward to every year at the PFAs. Fraser's speech.
Oh my God. Does he still do that? Does he? Right, I'll tell
you've
you
not
what,
been there for a year.
I'll tell you what, Gordon, you're now receiving another 60 quid. Right, I ain't gonna long to listen to that again.
So you'd pay £60 to not listen.
Oh my God, please.
He's not a fan of Fraser's speech.
An update confirmed. He says speech written. Another epic, he says.
Oh my goodness.
And is he wearing the same jacket? I think he confirmed to me he was.
You and him had matching jackets.
I actually got another jacket, and I'm afraid I can't wear it now.
Give it to Gordon, he'll wear it.
Yeah,
I'll fit him. No,
I've got too much muscle.
I had a bit of an issue.
Oh, your shirt?
My shirt was a bit tighter than it was last year. I was thinking it was more having a second child that's probably done it. So straight off to M&S this morning on the way there.
Just what are you going for tomorrow? A wee tux?
Bow
tie?
No, I'm going the
black tie.
James
black
Bondi.
Black tie, chauffeur.
With a white hanky. I'm turning up my style. I'm going right in there, turning up my style. The minute Fraser steps on the stage, I'm at the bar. I'm right out that door. I'll be back in half an hour, boys. Text me when he's finished.
Any man who invites me to a champagne reception.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
We've got a goal at McDermott Park, and it goes to Kilmarnock. This really could be it for St Johnstone. It was a nice goal from last season's PFA Scotland Young Player of the Year, David Watson. Certainly hasn't kicked on the way people would have expected to in and out the team, but that could be an important one. It's a nice goal, a curler from 18 yards, and it's one that will see Derek McInnes breathe a huge sigh of relief, and one which really just starts to accelerate things for the St Johnstone fans.
Well, it's only putting the fans out of their misery. It was always going to happen. Simo Valcari strikes me as a man who's an idealist. David Friel spoke earlier on about rock and roll football, which is one of Simo Valcari's expressions, but they're just not good enough to stay in the division. And when that is the case, all the rock and roll in the world won't help you.
First big chance for Dundee. It was a double save from Aston Oxborough. Just quite interesting that Gordon brought back in today. Can you read anything into that? It's so late in the season, and maybe Motherwell are safe. But remember, he was the first choice at the start of the season, got injured. Then Ellery Balcombe, who had been at St Mirren, eventually came in after Archie Mayer played once or something in between. Yeah. and Balcombe stayed in, but now there have been one or two Motherwell fans suggesting they'd prefer to see Aston Oxborough back in, and that's happened today.
I see the sense in it, because I think Mark's right. I think that if you look at that league table, Motherwell are not in any danger of being in that relegation playoff. And I think with the new manager coming in, it gives them a few games from now to the end of the season to assess them, because it's got to be a big transfer window for him. He'll want to bring in his own players, and he might look at the goalkeeping situation. He'll look at every sort of a situation, because Motherwell need to get rid of players because they've got such a massive squad and they need them freshened up. So I don't think that's a bad idea, because he was the number one goalkeeper.
You see the little clip of Motherwell training the other day in the tight area? The centre circle, the two goals, tight pitch, goalkeepers, a lot of involvement. Just when you mentioned the goalkeepers there,
maybe
it's quite interesting. You know how crowded that area what was, a couple of the drills at Vimmers.
Yeah, we're very set in our ways here, aren't we? I think it's always interesting when a European manager comes in. You know, we've spoken
good
about it before. Andy's spoken about it. They've, you know, the schedule change, so they have a kind of different schedule during the week.
That's hard for Scottish footballers.
They sometimes train later, I think, at certain days of the week and so on. So
that Friday they train 3 o'clock,
something like that.
If I know anything, footballers do not like that sort of stuff. Anything that disrupts the old,
I would have hated that.
Oh, you would have.
Yeah.
Anything that's just out the ordinary with footballers.
But that's the players' fault.
Scotland maybe a bit set in its ways.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Half 10 start, 12 o'clock finish. Down the road.
If you can't have
down the road. In the snooker club or the golf course.
Yeah, 100%.
You need adaptability. The man comes in with fresh ideas. You can't just say, oh, we're Scottish players, we only train 10 till half past 12 and then we go away and don't think about anything.
At first on the corner here, so let's see what Michael Vimmer's defensive training ground work has looked like this week. Not great, because Aston Oxborough has to make a very big save from it, from Joe Shaughnessy's header. Hearts are the better team in the game in Dingwall. And what else have we got? A good double save, Jack Walton. Hibs were looking to make it two. Kukarevich first, then Hoylett on the rebound.
To be fair, not difficult to be better than Ross County. I can't understand your prediction. How did you arrive at Ross County?
Because I think Ross County are one of those teams, Hugh, that they just produce a result from somewhere. They had, I think it was the middle of the season, they couldn't win away from home, couldn't they? And then all of a sudden, they went on a little run. Just at home against a Hearts team that are sitting there, they've lost their manager. They lost their manager because of a reason. Obviously, the players as well. They've not reached the top six. I've just got a sneaky that Ross County can get some. Could be totally wrong. I've been wrong before.
We'll wait and see. Give us the early reminder of the teaser, please, Hugh.
Okay. Can you name the five defenders who, since season 2015-2016, have 10 or more Premiership goals, and they played for only one of the current top flight clubs? Now, they don't have to have scored all of those goals in one season, but five of them since 2015-16, 10 or more Scottish Premiership goals, and played for only one of the current top flight clubs.
I think this is one of the hardest first half teasers we've had, because it requires quite a bit here. Right, to clarify your point, Mark, just as an example, Nir Beaton is not on the list because he was a midfielder.
That's what I mean.
He
yeah.
played at the back. The rest are definitely defenders. Chris McAllister thinks it could be Mikael Lustig.
No.
Andy Considine.
No.
Paul Hamlin.
Nope.
He's got the other two right, don't worry about that. Michael Donati wants to throw in Cameron Carter-Vickers.
Not there.
Graham Shinney.
Not there either.
He's not a defender.
Well, that's one of the ones that
he's
a left
him
back.
Is he's now back playing left back. But Michael Collins wants to go Christopher Eyre.
Sorry, Michael.
I'll give you a wee clue, because it's a very slow start to this, because I think it is so tough. Two Rangers, one Celtic, two non-Old Firm. Okay, don't say I'm not good to you.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
2-0 Hibs. It's Mikola Kukarevich with the goal. Hibs have started brightly, and they have the scoreline to back that up. Dundee United priding themselves on being pretty solid this season. They didn't look very solid against Celtic. That can be forgivable, but not so much here today either. A ran from the halfway line into the box, low left footed finish in off the post, and Hibs are cruising all of a sudden.
Well, terrific day for all concerned. And David Gray, contender for Manager of the Year, will be quite happy simply to take his 3 points, go home, be at the Hibs table tomorrow night, and see what will be.
It's amazing. At the start of the season, I used to always speak about Easter Road. You just never knew what you were going to get from a Hibs side there. And now it's the opposite. It's consistent. You know what you're getting. And I'm not surprised with that. As good as Dundee United have been, as good as they were for the first 15 minutes against Celtic, I thought they were always going to find that difficult at Easter Road today. So a flying start from Hibs.
Easter Road's not a good place for John Goodwin, is it?
No, just not.
It's one of those grounds as a player as well. You used to have certain grounds you hated.
That
I'm
image.
Sure.
The image of him leaving by the side door will be there forever. But to be fair to the man, Tannadice was his rehabilitation. And he has done all that can reasonably be asked of a club promoted to the Premiership. To be in the top six is a feat in itself.
The thing is, if Dundee United, the good thing about their position post-split, I suppose, Mark, and you've been at the club, is they can't have a bad season from here. They won't drop to sixth. And by the way, even if they did, you'd probably would have taken that at the start of the season, or should I say, it's unlikely that they drop to sixth. So a fifth place finish, first season back up.
Look, I think it's been an exceptional season for them. I think obviously once you get into a position, Jim would have then, you know, upped the expectation levels. But fifth place is remarkable. Coming up, the budget cuts I knew he had to go through last season, some of the players he had to find and bring to the club and integrate, it's been a tough job for Jim Goodwin. He's done a fantastic job there. Brilliant season.
No goals yet, but you'll be pleased to know St Mirren Aberdeen, Gabriel says it's feistier than Dave's hot and loaded burger from Wimpy. So it's quite spicy up there. Over there in Paisley, there was already a booking, I think, Devlin clattered in to Mark O'Hara. Nearly a mix up there as Marcus Fraser head past his own keeper from an Aberdeen corner, but still no goals yet. The only goals coming, a double from Hibs, they're 2-0 up, and the big one for Kelly, one up at McDermott Park.
At least if it's feisty in Paisley, St Mirren Aberdeen, then it proves the point that the St Mirren players haven't regarded their season as being over and done with.
Yeah, good point.
So they're willing to go out all guns blazing.
I think that's a reflection there, the manager.
Yeah.
Just the way he comes across. And I think that would put him high in anybody's priority list if they're looking for a new manager, and especially Hearts, that he drums into his players the detail that he requires from them. But it's that kind of attitude he also drums into his players that any club would want. And of course, the further up the ladder you go and you can install that into better players, the better chance you have of actual silverware. So if your Hearts, you'd be a lot worse than looking in his direction.
Maybe he's thinking about the club just up the road from Paisley.
Where? Which one?
The one that's looking for a manager at the end of the season.
Oh, catch yourself on. Not a chance. But I agree with Mark. I think if your Hearts, you would be looking at the job that he's doing at in St Mirren. He's been terrific for him. Look, he'd done a great job at Motherwell as well.
That was a kind of swift dismissal, that catch yourself on, not a chance.
Not a chance. Do you actually believe that?
Believe he'd be
in a troublemaker.
The mix.
Don't forget, it's playoff season, and it's not just about moving between divisions in the SPFL. There are teams trying to get into the SPFL and stay. So East Kilbride, remember, 4-1 up against Brora from the first leg. They're 1-0 down on the day, so 4-2 on aggregate. And of course, the winner of that tie will take on either Bonnie Rigrose or Forfar. So we'll keep an eye on their scores today as well. At the moment, 0-0 Forfar Stirling, and Bonnie Rigrose are 0-0 as well away at Stranraer.
Surely East Kilbride can't throw that away. I know they've got off to a bad start, but they've got good enough players, good experience there. I fancy them to take on the winners of Forfar or Bonnie Rigrose.
Well, it was only 2-1 when they went down to 10 men last week, so they actually did pretty well to win 4-1 in the end.
Look, it might be a possibility. I'm hoping, my fingers are crossed for you. But if you won the playoffs, who would you be looking to? Who would you fancy in that Premier League? Ross County, Dundee? Because that's the two really just now.
Anybody. We'll take
anybody. You think he's going to stand here and tell you which one he would rather play?
Why not?
We'll take them all.
The guy's a part-time pundit, part-time manager now.
Who would you take?
Ross County.
Right. Right. Pin it up in the dressing room wall.
Exactly.
If he says
And then what you could do, what you done the last time, got there and...
But you just say Ross County can pull a result from anywhere.
But so can the Thistle.
You and Big Brian have got the magic touch.
That's it.
You beat the top two. How? I don't know.
lost against the bottom two. So yeah. We're just a mix. We keep everybody in their toes.
But you're on. I can't wait for Tuesday and Friday.
Oh, where they are. Can I read his message? It is broadcastable.
Did he send you? Because he doesn't usually even bother. Don't usually even bother with him.
By the time it came through, it was when I switched my phone off. I switched my phone on after the game and came through. Message Gordon Dale. A text message, not even a WhatsApp as well. This is from the heart, by the way. I believe in you to get this over the line, my friend. It takes a turn here. Don't let yourself and family and me down tonight. Remember what I've taught you from day one and you will succeed. All the very best.
It worked.
Exactly.
It worked.
Exactly.
But you see what he's done there? He's dropped in a nice, all the best, but don't let your family have an wee jibe. But I appreciate it. And he
can
also takes me as well.
What troubled me about that whole thing though? Why'd you turn your phone off?
Exactly.
Why did I turn my phone off?
What do you mean turn it off? And just like put it away. I don't think I've ever turned my phone off.
Really. Oh, no, I turn it off just in case.
In case what?
In case I've not put it on silent or something and it rings.
I'm not going to hear it.
And somebody goes, where are you?
No, in the dress room. So it's in the dress room, isn't it?
Okay.
Well, just think if it's silence and somebody's speaking and the phone goes and you're going, whose phone's that? Okay. It's mine. No, switch your phone off. Professional.
Doesn't know how to put his phone in silent, honestly. And we're supposed to trust this guy to lead Thistle to the top flight. We've got a goal.
Goal flashes. With M&D Green Pharmacy.
How's Anne Budge feeling? Ross County 1, Hearts 0. It's a great low finish from boys. Ronan Hale. He has showed signs. He's been decent at times this season. He shoots on sight, Ronan Hale, and he's fired one into the bottom corner to make it Ross County 1, Hearts 0.
I bow to the Daz. They're not over the line, not by a long way, but Ross County, you know, for a start, they've scored a goal.
And we've got one for Aberdeen as well, but it's getting looked at by VAR at the moment. I think it was Ockles who scored. He did look a bit sheepish, no pun intended. Come on, Gabriel, you're better than... He's from Aberdeen as well.
He should
know more. He says he looks sheepish, my goodness.
The wee trophy kid.
Nisbet looked like he might have handled it. So we'll wait and see if that one stands. But what does stand is Ronan Hales. It's a lovely finish, a fierce drive into the bottom corner. And the small band of Hearts fans, smaller than usual, who made the trip, I don't think will be too impressed.
I think the small band tells its own story, that on top of all the other problems, two managers in 7 months, Anne Budge and Lauren Shanklin under pressure for their off-field conduct. Now, the supporters have turned their back on them because the attendance at the Hearts end is roughly 50% of what it would be under normal circumstances. And by normal circumstances, I mean Hearts not being in danger of the relegation playoffs.
Referee's gone over to take a look in Paisley, so you would suspect that the goal will not stand. Referee Ross Hardy going to check out the monitor. Sometimes they stick with their original decision, but generally speaking, it looks like that Aberdeen opener will be ruled out. Sheepish was the word Gabriel used, not me. About Kevin Nisbet's demeanour afterwards. Motherwell fire one over the top as well as they look for an opener. Callum Slattery, who's been one of the bright sparks for Motherwell in recent weeks, goes over the top.
So on the as things stand table, Ross County move up to 38 points, Hearts are on 40 points. That means Hearts are back in the worrisome mix.
Yeah, it'd be hard to argue with that. Plenty more football to be played today. No goal in Paisley, so it remains St Mirren 0, Aberdeen 0. Handball by Kevin Nisbet. How good was his goal last weekend?
Oh, I tell you what, technique-wise,
some finisher.
Yeah, I've got to say, brilliant. Because he's leaning back when he chests it down, but he knows what he's doing, and it's a fantastic
finish. If it was up to you, would that land goal of the season at Fraser's Do tomorrow?
Possibly could, yes. I'm trying to think of another one.
So there was loads on it. I'm not going to run through them all. Remember Jack Iredale in the Edinburgh Derby? Came volley into the far corner.
Good goal.
Iggemans against Celtic into the roof of the net. I think Callum McGregor's early season one. Was that Hibs?
Yeah,
against Hibs. But I think the Hibs one that kind of curls into the corner.
Any team goals there? I like a team goal.
The one that the nice one Celtic scored that ends with was it Kyogo or someone dinked the goalkeeper? Was it Dundee or, you know, something that came all the way from the one corner all the way up, and was it not a, there was like a scandalous touch or something?
Is that against St Johnson?
Or was it? It's one of them. Anyway, no, there are a few. I think this one's voted for by the public, so could be Andy's guess.
There are more awards every year. I know I've missed the last two, obviously.
They should have my budget of the year.
My budget was sick the last 2 years. But I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. I really am, because Fraser puts on a good spread. And I'm just, I was earwigging there, Hugh, about champagne reception. I don't know if I've got that in my invite.
Oh, well, you see.
You won't be. It's only Hugh that gets. If you were Fraser, you wouldn't give you champagne, would you?
He's invited me into that room before.
Try to stay away from you. You do nothing but criticise the man.
Yeah, I just want to make sure he's okay and he's not too nervous about his speech. That's probably going to go on for an hour and a half.
He'll be fine.
Yeah. I hope they don't bring the soup out.
Remind us of your teaser again, please, Hugh. Incidentally, he's doing his day job for now, and he says that Hibs are very much on top. Could get worse for Dundee United.
Can you name the five defenders who, since season 2015-2016, have 10 or more Premiership goals and played for only one of the current top flight clubs?
Not one person has got this all correct yet. Ooh. People are getting close. Derek FM is very close, but Andy Considine played for St Johnstone very briefly, remember?
Yeah.
The end of his career. And Mark 8355, whatever his long number after his name is very close as well. Very close. But Stephen Kingsley's, most of his goals came in the Championship for Hearts. So there are a couple that are hitting the post, but nobody with all five correct. I told you before, two Rangers, one Celtic, two non-Old Firm. Okay.
You got the Celtic one, Mark?
No.
I think I've got it.
One's so difficult. Really is. And fair play to him, because I don't think he's even, don't feel like he's been here that long, but he has racked up 10 goals in the Premiership, and he plays. He currently, there's another clue for you, this guy, the hardest of the lot, actually currently plays in the Premiership as well. Not much of a clue, is it? Never mind.
No. That narrows it down.
Yeah, I know. Clyde 2, Peterhead 0. Darren Hines with the goal there.
It's the annual fight for survival where Clyde are concerned, but they look like they're pulling it off.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Dundee 1, Motherwell 0. Still work to be done for Motherwell to try and stay in the division. Dundee are trying to keep their part of it, and I think it was Antonio Portales who's getting the acclaim of his teammates, runs away in celebration. Aston Oxborough, we said, back in goal for Motherwell, couldn't keep it out. It was a throw-in, it was flicked on, it bounced, and Portales, defender, rifles a volleyed shot into the top corner. It is a stunning finish. It really is. Motherwell player didn't really know what was happening. The ball sat kindly for him, and it is an absolutely stunning strike from Portales.
And on the as things stand table in the bottom six, Dundee would move on to 40 points, the same as HEA, RTS, who are currently being BEATEN.
That's a big afternoon if this keeps the way it's going. Hearts will be under severe pressure because they are brought right back into that mix there. You're right, Hugh, Ross County just now, 38. Kilmarnock, 41 as it stands, and Dundee, 40. All of a sudden, Hearts have a little bit of pressure on them.
We finally have one correct answer on that teaser, so keep going, because there's two spots left on the podium. And even if you don't think you can get them all, just chuck in some names and see how far you get. East Kilbride have equalised in that playoff to try and get into the SPFL. So
that'll be that.
5-2 up, you would have to imagine.
Oh, can I lose that?
It should be fine from there, but you never know. And you can keep your thoughts coming in all afternoon as well on something else rather than just the teaser. If you want to put a point across at Clyde SSB is a good place to do so. But of course, get your guesses in and see if anyone else can join our first correct answer on the podium. Gordon? Are you still sure Motherwell would be safe if things were to end? So as it stands, as Hugh says, they'd only be 5 points above the relegation playoff.
Yeah, I just think
but Kelly Hearts, Dundee and Ross County would all be below them.
I think obviously they're still to play each other. I think there are too many games. I think 42 would be enough. Like, I certainly think that They'd love to get another maybe 1 point just to secure it. But 42 with every team below you try to, you know, catch you and overtake you, I don't think that's going to happen. Do you, Mark?
Nah, I think it'll be okay.
I think what it would do is, absolutely everything would have to go against them, wouldn't it? Almost every single result would need to go against.
And that's never happening. Never happening. So I think it'll be okay. What I would say for Dundee and Tony Docherty, see, I mentioned Hibs' goals for column earlier on. See, when you look at Dundee's, that's 52-4. So far and away ahead of anybody in that bottom six. Is that goals against tally, of course. 71 goals against. They went through that wee period where they take a few bad ones around about the Christmas period and that, of course. But that would frustrate you because entertaining to watch. Fans will like seeing them going forward. They've got Simon Murray banging them in, but struggle to keep a clean sheet.
Yeah, it's been a real mixed bag, hasn't it? The two boxes contributing quite a lot for Dundee. Remember the picture in those other games. Ross County are beating Hearts. Sack the board, shout the Hearts fans in Dingwall. Kilmarnock are winning in Perth, so it'll be a long, long way back. St Johnstone, there are everyone's favourite to go down for weeks now, really. In fact, that would be 11 points as things stand between them and Ross County. So wouldn't it?
They're gone. Yes. They're gone.
Mark Wilson made the point earlier on about the Hearts board, and everyone's under pressure there. Andrew McKinley, the chief executive, who has, you know, he's overseen a season of chaos. And the clue's in the title, Chief. You're the chief, Chief. And it's not happening.
I think they made a mistake. I think they should have went with the manager until the end of the season and then removed them. I think you're putting you can look at Liam Fox and argue, well, he was a manager at Dundee United, but he admitted himself he's more of a coach than he is a manager. I think you should have kept experience in the dugout. And then at the end of the season, if you're not happy, I think you then replace him. But they put themselves in a little bit of trouble.
Where does it leave you as well with the whole, you know, idea of the club going down this analytics route when the analytics serves up your manager who doesn't produce the results right away, but you sack him anyway before the end of the season? So what do? Do you go back to the analytics and have another go at that?
Who was second?
Who was second on that list? Or do you scrap that and do you...
Well, won't be getting scrapped. Because to be fair, one thing, this is a long-term thing, this. You know, this is a system that's supposed to square up the structure of your club for a long time to come. And you look at Brighton and the other clubs within the group that use Jamestown Analytics, you know.
But they've abandoned it quickly, into Critchley's terms. So
no, but I mean in terms of the next managerial recruitment process, it will be involved again. I mean, it's easy to scoff, I suppose, when it doesn't go wrong, but you know, it works well at other clubs, doesn't it?
No, I agree that if that was their model to go down that route, great, fine, stick by it. But don't just abandon it by the end of the season.
I think the overwhelming suspicion has to be that when Neil Critchley has one defeat too many for them, Dundee at Tynecastle, Simon Murray inevitably, they use their eyes and ears, the crowd are going off the heads, and they believe this man, Neil Critchley, will take us to the relegation playoffs and we don't know if we'll survive. And at that point, never mind analytics, never mind algorithms, he is going to cost us. Get rid of him.
But you, when it comes to the appointment, you're not listening to the crowd when you make the appointment. You're concentrated on analytics. So when it comes to the nitty-gritty, surely you've got to block out the noise of the crowd and stick to your model and what you believe.
But not if instinctively, never mind that the algorithms and the analytics, if you believe instinctively he is going to cost us, then you have to act on your gut reaction and not the machine.
I think what's interesting about Hearts as well is, and I'm not saying Neil Critchley would have been good at this, because you never know, this is maybe why they got rid of him. You're speaking about, you spoke about Liam Fox, didn't you, and you know, maybe been more of a coach, and I'm not saying he doesn't have this in his locker, but surely the psychology of the position Hearts are in is actually more important than ever, you know, because you're not in the position that threatens you right now. It's more about, can you can you keep calm heads? You know, can you not panic? Can you not get dragged in? Someone mentioned the Hibs example from a few years ago. It's almost like when panic sets in, that's when you start to, you know, to drop.
Yeah, and sometimes you just need someone to stabilise the dressing room. And I guess then you need to judge who is the best character to do that. And Critchley, there's no doubt about it, was more experienced than Fox. But I don't know what Critchley was like in that respect. We'd assume that makes you, when you're more experienced, a calmer head. Maybe not. Maybe Liam Fox is a calmer head and able to get cut through to the players more. On today's evidence, of course, easy to say now, he's 38 minutes in and they're still 1-0 down. It doesn't look like that. You would look change.
You would look at their next two games. Now, you would think two home games gives them a wee bit of advantage, yeah, but Dundee go there and turn them over. They've got Motherwell next week and then St Johnstone the following week. So you would probably think that Hearts will have enough to keep themselves away from that. But you're right, panic could set in. There's no doubt about that.
Right, finally, we've got a couple of people getting there with the teaser, but there is scope for more. Hugh Keevan, give us the question again, please.
Okay. Can you name the five defenders who, since season 2015-16, have 10 or more Premiership goals and played for only one of the current top flight clubs?
Do you know what? It's all the same wrong answers, I think. I think we're nearly there. Oh, and we're interrupted by one of these, which we don't mind.
Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Goal Hearts, and he's smirking his way back to the halfway line because Lauren Shankland has scored. He's stepped up when his side needed him, and it's Ross County 1, Hearts 1. About 12 yards out, a nice low finish, and that game in Dingwall is level.
Of all the players in all the teams this afternoon, 10 teams, of all the players who needed to score a goal, he was your man. Because after the kind of week he's had since the defeat from Dundee, he absolutely had to score for Hearts today. And to his credit, he's risen to the occasion and they sure needed that goal.
Certainly did. Not just the week he's had, Hugh, the season he's had in comparison to last year and everything that comes along with that, jumping and changing the managers, and he's the captain and he'll feel a responsibility for that, you know, not scoring the goals, but as a leader of the team. So when his team need him most, he stepped up just before half time. That's a crucial goal up in Dingwall.
I wonder if he's playing today. I wonder if he's playing as a centre forward or that in that 10 role. I would play Shanklin as a centre forward all day long. Yeah. I think he's a goal scorer. Right? He showed that last year. Then they dropped him into the 10. Look, he links the play up very well. But when you've got a guy that won player a year and scored 30-odd goals as a centre-forward, I don't know why you take him out of that position. That baffled me.
Really good goal, according to Dave Galloway. A nice touch just to create the angle and a finish that leaves Jordan Amisa with no chance. And again, that changes things. I won't keep running through every permutation because there are still a few games to go in the league title race at the top, of course, and at the bottom six games. So 29 points St Johnstone, 36 Ross County. Is that right? Is that as a result of being pegged back? I think it is.
Yep.
And Hearts sitting up there on 41,
on the same number of points as Kilmarnock as things stand. So at least we're getting the kind of intrigue that the day had to offer. Everywhere we're all still on a knife edge everywhere you look.
Yeah, it's very tight, isn't it? Yeah, when you look at the bottom out league, the way it's changing.
I think Dundee United are probably out of it at Easter Road, two down. You wouldn't see a way back.
Well, certainly, I think Fraser will tell you, certainly need the next goal. But it's the home team that are probably playing the best football, probably get the best threat. And you would only imagine that Hibs have got to just go on and pick up a valuable 3 points.
Let's round off the teaser, Hugh, because I think we're finally there. It was very tough, but as usual, our listeners come up with the goods.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
The five defenders who, since 2015-2016, have 10 or more Scottish Premiership goals and played for only one of the current top flight clubs are James Tavernier, Rangers, 84 goals, Conor Goldson, Rangers, 15 goals, Dedrick Boyata at Celtic.
Oh, no way.
12 goals. Ryan Porteous at Hibs, 11 goals. And Joe Wright at Kilmarnock, 10 goals.
You're telling me James Tavernier has got more than 10, yeah?
I'm telling you, he's got 84.
Right, just checking. The rest were pretty close. But well done if you got it right. We got there in the end. Aaron M09, third place. Well done to you. Igaman Prop in second. And Derek FM88 was the winner on the first half teaser.
Not getting that. We are not
Joe
getting
Wright,
that.
Joe Wright,
Kilmarnock. Yeah. Are you sure it's 10 goals, not 10 red cards?
I'm telling you that James Tavernier has scored more than the other four put together.
You only got too many of them? Two?
Two.
Two.
Yeah.
Tavernier and Goldson.
We were poor. Very poor.
Mind you, Dedrick Boyata.
Never got
not
that.
Not a chance.
No.
No way.
Many did you say you got, Q?
12.
12 for goals. Dedrick Boyata, yeah.
Never got him.
I know, I can't even remember him being a prolific.
No.
I think Joe Wright's the surprise. That was the one I said. You know, he hasn't. I don't feel like he's been here that long. Well, he hasn't. And was he part of the team that came up, I think, was he, with Kilmarnock? Anyway, he's not, you know, not got the same longevity as some of the others, like Tavernier and Goldson had. And but he's managed 10 in the Premiership as well. So good on. Good on him.
Aye, brilliant. Brilliant.
Half-time scores slowly going to get here from the lower leagues first, as always. Fraser Wishart telling us he kicked off
late.
At Easter Road.
Do you know, I looked around the studio and I seen the smirks on some people's faces. What I thought was poor when Fraser mentioned his poor wing mirror. I've got to say, I'd have loved to have been there at that moment just to see his lovely wee face.
I know you like to give him a hard time, but surely we can't be condoning criminal damage to his motor vehicle.
Not at all. Not at all.
I'm just it's got to be a company car anyway, is it not?
Oh, I'd
the
love
PFA
to see
members are paying for that.
Yeah, I'd love to have seen his face.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Dundee 2, Motherwell 0. It's Portales again, and it is the exact same goal that he scored the first time. It drops to him in the box, left footed, and he smashes it into the top corner beyond Aston Oxborough. Quite incredible. Obviously plays, and he's a defender by trade. He's played a midfield role recently for Dundee. And it is, you'll struggle to see two more similar goals than this.
You sure you're not doing a Gordon Dale here and watching the replay?
It's Dale that's given us the updates from Dundee.
Or Dale, I mean, yeah, then wow. Well, that is quite unusual, especially Portales scoring two.
Wait, you see, genuinely, right? Both is a long throw into the box. The first ball isn't cleared. It sits at the edge of the box, and he hits it on the up with his left foot into the left hand top corner.
He's obviously thought, you know, I've had the first one with success. Let's have another go. Very rare that it happens.
Do you praise Portales for doing the same thing twice, or do you criticise Motherwell for losing a goal that's identical to the one they lost?
By the sounds of it, you've got to praise that, surely, if it's a tough technique.
And you also, that's the beauty of the long throw, I guess. It's that chaos factor. It drops to him twice.
Yeah.
You know, other times it might not. But all of a sudden, it's turning into a pretty ugly afternoon for Motherwell. I don't even think they'll be too annoyed at the overall way they are within the game, but they're 2-0 down. There is a VAR check on this one. Possibly someone in front of the keeper, maybe, but I think Kevin Clancy's doing the sign. No goal.
Oh no.
I'm telling you, just for the quirk factor, we have been robbed of an incredible quirk here. I'm really keen for you to all get to see these two goals and how similar they are. But this one's ruled out, so it doesn't count. It's 1-0 to Dundee. Not entirely sure why. It certainly wasn't someone standing in front. Must have hit Portales' hand before he struck it. Half time in Dingwall, Dave Galloway.
Half time, Ross County 1 Hearts 1. Hearts began well. Spittle whipped in across from the left. Grant couldn't connect properly with it, and the ball went wide. Spittle and Grant combined well to set up Shanklin, but the ball eluded him right in front of goal, and that was a head in hand moment for him. Ross County threatened finally with Harmon's shot in the box, charged down, and Kenna hitting a low drive well wide from about 25 yards. The visitors, though, looking the light clear team in Forest side-footed effort was straight at Amisa. Then the same player could only hook over following a long ball upfield. Another good chance missed. But County went ahead against their own and play in 25 minutes with a great low finish by Hale into the bottom corner after Kenna's run and through ball. The Jam Tarts creating plenty openings, and at long last they deservedly equalised after 40 minutes. Beningame set up Shankland, who had a really good first touch, then an excellent finish across Amisa and in at the bottom corner from 12 yards. It's been a decent first half, but the scores are tied. Ross County 1, Hearts 1.
And half time in Paisley, here's Gabriel.
Half time, it's St Mirren 0, Aberdeen 0. Been 50-50 in this feisty first 45. The Dons started brightly. They had four corners in the opening 5 minutes. Leighton Clarkson then had a shot dragged just wide from inside the edge of the box. Interesting moment when Jeppe Ockels turned the ball in, thought he'd put the visitors 1-0 up, but instantly you could see Kevin Nisbet had handed it in the build-up. The referee overturned the decision after consulting the monitor, and the hosts grew into the game after that. Jonah Ayunga smacked one wide after cutting in from the left following a swift Saints attack. And Mark O'Hara had a good chance as well, almost a half volley just inside the box. A save low by Dimitar Mitov after good work down the right by Ryan Alabiosu. And Mikhail Mandron had an effort saved. Weak in the end, should have done better when coming in onto his stronger right foot. But the big two up top, Gordon, causing the Dons backline problems. Ocean Smith is playing well in the middle of the park, as is Alabiosu on the right-hand side. Stephen Robinson's side certainly in the ascendancy before the whistle there. But it has been a dirty game. Four yellow cards, two for each team, issued there. Looking forward to the second half, Gordon. You feel like something's going to give one way or another. At the interval, at St Mirren 0, Aberdeen 0.
Well, it's on a knife edge in that one. The halftime whistles are going pretty much everywhere. I'll bring you the full-time reports very soon. It's halftime at Dens Park, but it's now just still Dundee 1, Motherwell 0. That second goal from Portales ruled out. I'll tell you what, we'll do all the remaining halftime stories when we return.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
It's also half-time at Easter Road. Let's hear from Fraser.
Atenza Bernard 2, Dundee United 0. A really good first 45 minutes for Hibs. Took the game to United from the kick-off. Their high-tempo performance has them deservedly 2 ahead. Goals from both their strikers, Boyle and Kukurevic. The opener came in 3 minutes. Junior Hoyle has been outstanding. Lovely pass to set Chris Cadden in behind the defence. First time low cross into the 6-yard box. Declan Gallagher tried to clear it, but his clearance hit Martin Boyle and trickled into the back of the net and off the post. A bit of fortune, but another goal for Boyle this season. Hibs fans really got going. It was all about Hibs from then on. Jack Walton denied. Kukurevic, a really good save to his right, and then he got up quickly to parry the rebound from Hoylett away for a corner from 12 yards. But it was 2-0 on 14 minutes. A long ball over the top of United defence. Kukurevic inside left, just ran on to unchallenged. His pace took him past Gallagher into the box, and his low finish across Walton dribbled in off the post into the back of the net. It was a tough start for United. Their first chance, and in fact their only shot on target, came in 18 minutes. Sam Dalby with the shot from 20 yards straight to Jordan Smith. And then it's back to Hibs dominating. Hoylett at the centre of everything. Boyle almost in behind on a couple of occasions. Then he did get clear. For some reason, he delayed his shot and tried to cross it, but he was tackled and the chance was gone. Then Ross Docherty tried his luck. The Dundee United skipper, 25 yards out. His shot took a big deflection off Bashir. He sent keeper the wrong way, but was inches wide. But all in all, been a real struggle for the Tannadice side. And Jim Goodwin will know it could have been more for Hibs, but his team have still got a chance. They had decent possession in the ball, but they need to offer more in the last third, and they must get the next goal. And I think he might even make a couple of changes at the break. All good for Hibs so far. Half time at Easter Road to Burnley 2, Dundee United 0.
It's also half time at McDermott Park, St Johnston, Kilmarnock. Here's David Friel.
Half time here, St Johnston 0, Kilmarnock 1. Kelly Head, nothing really going right for St Johnston. To be honest, Simo Valakari side trailing to David Watson's brilliant strike for Kelly. They need a big second half to keep those slim survival hopes alive. Saints have had big chances. He actually started well. Josh McPake had an early shot block. Kelly then settled. Fraser Murray, Danny Armstrong had effort saved by Andy Fisher before Watson's opener in 12 minutes. Bobby Wills and Corey and Dabber were involved. The ball was worked to midfielder on the edge of the box. He got it out of his feet, curled a brilliant finish into the bottom corner. Kelly almost made it 2-0 through Danny Armstrong, but St Johnston come back into it. After that, they had big chances to level before the break. Utchek Piatsu crossed on Mackenzie Kirk. He couldn't get his finish on target. The roles are then reversed. in 33 minutes when Kirk Taylor found Nick Piazza 6 yards out, but Kieran O'Hara made a big, big save. Saints are still in this game, but they'll need to up their game in the second half to get that win they really, really need. Half time, St Johnstone 0, Kilmarnock 1.
Big score lines coming in. I'll give you the half time story from Dundee against Motherwell very soon indeed. But just a quick reminder of the way those things sit at the break. Hibs 2-0 up against Dundee United, as we just heard from David. St Johnstone 0, Kilmarnock 1, goalless between St Mirren and Aberdeen. And Ross County and Hearts 1 each. Let's hear from Dale, who has watched the game between Dundee and Motherwell so far.
Yes, Gordon, it's half-time here at Dense Park, and it's the home side to lead 1-0. A fairly quiet start to the match, but it was Motherwell with the first real chance of the half after a nice interchange between Tom Sparrow and Callum Slattery down the right-hand side, with the latter heading a low-driven shot into Carson, who saved comfortably. It's Ox brought on his return to Motherwell's starting 11, who's been the busier of the two goalkeepers, and Dundee forced him into a double save around 12 minutes into the game when Adeomi broke into the Motherwell box with the goalkeeper coming to meet him. The ball deflected out to Larkesh, but Oxford recovered in time to slap the ball away. After that, Dundee continued with more pressure as Adeomi and Larkesh caused Motherwell a headache down the left-hand side. Oxbrow is again forced into action from a Lyle Cameron corner, swung in with Joe Shocknessy meeting it and sending a low header down the left, but the goalkeeper again saved well. He was eventually beaten though with a fantastic effort from Antonio Portales at around the half-hour mark. A long throw into the Motherwell box, broke to the Mexican defender, come midfielder, who absolutely rifled the ball from the edge of the box into the top left corner. On the stroke of half time, he had the ball in the back of the net again, but it was rolled out for VAR. I'm not entirely sure what that was rolled out for, potentially for a player blocking the goalkeeper's view. Slattery has been the danger man for the away side. He sent a speculative effort wide from the post on the 25th minute mark with a nice link up from Harry Payton after that, who slid the ball to the midfielder across the box, but his shot was blocked and eventually cleared by the Dundee defence. Half time here at Dense Park, it's Dundee 1, Motherwell 0.
Second half's coming up very soon. We'll take another breather and then get them underway.